Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Dr. Simone Zeichman, Chief Information Officer at the U.S. Department of Commerce. Also joining our conversation from IBM is Paul Cayatta. So, Simone, Commerce has an inherent responsibility, like most federal agency, to be good stewards of the public funds and invest its budget wisely. What have you done to strengthen the department's IT capital investment process to ensure that the investment decisions are mission-aligned and cost-justified?
We've made quite a number of improvements. The department under Klinger Cohen has had a capital planning and investment control process for a long time. Also under the Klinger Cohen Act, we've had a Commerce IT review board for many years, and that board had historically been used to review the major investments at the Department of Commerce. And that's still the case, but we've been significantly improving the processes, how the board operates, how it's structured, what it does, and the mechanisms that we use to improve the overall oversight that we're providing for capital planning and capital investment at Commerce. So as an example, some of the improvements that we've made are sort of expanding the board and changing the composition of the board. In the past, the board was co-chaired by the CIO and the CFO of Commerce, and it still is, but members of the board had been primarily CIOs at the bureau level. And now we've expanded the board to also make sure that we have more frequent attendance, a representation by acquisitions organizations, budget organizations. We also have a new Office of Program Evaluation and Risk Management that was established within the past 2 or 2.5 years. So now we have a department level risk management office that is also represented at these meetings. So that helps us understand, as part of our review process, risks and risk management associated with these major investments. We've also expanded the board to include more regular participation from the program management community. And that's not just the program managers of the investments that we're reviewing, but just generic subject matter experts, people who are skilled in program management, who come and help us do the assessment for these investments and make sure that they're being well managed. So our oversight capabilities have improved significantly. We also have, in addition to our overall oversight processes, the implementation of the IT dashboard by the Office of Management and Budget. And as part of the IT dashboard, which inventories all of the department's major investments, we're required to report a variety of information on a monthly basis, including CIO ratings for all these major investments. And that not only improves transparency for the general public, but has caused us to develop a new set of assessment criteria and assessment functions that result in us looking at all of the major investments on a monthly basis and doing an assessment of how they're performing. That, in turn, should lead to a reduction in risk and better performance for all of these projects.
As you've stated before, technology impacts everything within the department. So in this era of fiscal constraint, it must be imperative that mission support functions such as IT are pursued efficiently as well as effectively. To that end, could you elaborate a little bit on the efforts that Commerce is taking to pursue cost savings and efficiencies?
Sure. We have, I would say, several different classes of efforts. Some of them involve infrastructure consolidation. So you can imagine some of the things that we're doing under the government-wide data center consolidation initiative is resulting in consolidation of infrastructure, and by reducing the number of facilities and the number of data centers out there, we're producing some documented cost savings. Another area that I've already talked about in other examples previously are some of the things that we're doing with strategic sourcing, consolidating the acquisition and purchasing of technology, hardware, software, services, to buy in larger quantity and drive costs down. And we've seen some significant improvements just as a result of some of these efforts. If you go back a couple of years ago, the Department of Commerce had over 100 contracts for buying PCs. Now with 12 bureaus, you can quickly do the math and see that 100 contracts, even within a single bureau, frequently they hadn't consolidated all their purchasing down to a single contract, but were still buying things in smaller quantities. We put in place a single strategic sourcing vehicle for buying PCs across the entire department, collapsed all that down to a single contract, and we're seeing something like 30 to 35% savings for every PC that we purchase. And we've been documenting these savings now for the past couple of years, and we've saved something in the order of $8.6 million just on PC purchasing solely by consolidating our purchasing through a single contract, not to mention the undocumented savings of all the people who used to be involved in managing these 100 contracts who now have better things to do with their time than manage a contract that somebody else is also managing. We've looked at our printing and developed a number of policies to reduce the cost of our printing, whether it's printing double-sided and black and white rather than single-sided in color. We've eliminated more desktop printers and put in place more efficient workgroup printers. We've been looking at our mobile phones and trying to move those to more sort of consolidate those down to vehicles that give us better pricing. And we've also done purchasing of software ranging from Adobe software to endpoint protection software, again, consolidating our vehicles to get better pricing. And then the third area where we're really focusing on some cost savings is some of the shared services initiatives that we have. And so we're looking at putting in place, as I mentioned, help desk consolidation. In some cases, we're also looking at some network consolidation in the headquarters building. There are a variety of other shared services, more examples than I have to discuss here. But we are heavily focused on those three strategies for really trying to make better use of the funding that we have as a department.
So, Simone, we hear a lot about mobile computing and the perils and promises of mobile computing. I'd like to get a sense of what you folks are doing at Commerce to leverage this, and what are the different possibilities and demands around this, and how does your department-wide strategy for mobility factor in?
Well, the department-wide strategy for mobility is a lean strategy. And what I mean by that is I talked earlier about how the missions of the different parts of the department are quite different. So, and this also relates back to our earlier exchange about commodity IT. So there's some areas where some of the mobile technology that's in use really is commodity IT. There are some people who have BlackBerries and maybe would like to have an Android phone instead. There's some people who historically had laptops and maybe they'd like to have iPads or some other kind of tablet. And from that perspective, it's still supporting day-to-day type of work in a routine way. And so that is something that I might view as commodity IT. So we found ourselves in a situation where in order to support their local customers and these kinds of desires for mobile technologies and changes in technologies, the CIOs across the department were starting to pilot mobile technologies and mobility services. And my desire at the department level was really to not have a dozen brand new mushrooms sprouting, but to see if we could get together and work on a single approach to mobility within the department. And what that ultimately led to was a single contract for mobile device management services. So every bureau can still manage their own mobile devices. They can create their own enterprise services, but we have a single contract that everybody can use for acquiring mobile device management technology to support their needs. Again, the benefit there is we have a single standardized contract. We get better pricing as a result of the contract. If we ever in the future choose to consolidate the actual services themselves and maybe have one service provider supporting the whole department, that's much easier to do when people are already using the same technology base for doing that. So that's sort of been my role as a department-wide strategy. But then there are also bureau-level strategies for mobility, which may more directly support the mission of the bureau and the unique requirements of the bureau. An example there is the Census Bureau. They, every 10 years, go out and count the population of the country. And for the 2010 decennial census, they issued government-purchased laptops to every one of many, many tens or hundreds of thousands of temporary employees who were helping to conduct the census. They would like to reduce the cost of the census in the future for the 2020 decennial census. And so they're talking about a variety of options. Some of them are still being discussed, but one option might be to allow a BYOD type of approach. Another approach might be to look at virtual desktop infrastructure and really have the capability, the IT capabilities actually hosted in a data center, but through virtual desktops, allow all of the distributed census takers in the field to have access to the IT they need. And these capabilities could, in fact, be combined. So you could have virtual desktops providing computing capability in the data center and have people using their personal devices to access those virtual desktops. So that would sort of combine the VDI in the data center capability with a BYOD mobile device capability. And so what they're trying to do is really focus on how to make the decennial census a more successful census and a less expensive census than the ones that we had in the past. And that's not a mission that other bureaus share. And so the types of strategies that they're focusing on to meet their particular needs are unique to census. And so that's an example of where we have a bureau-level strategy that really goes quite a bit further to help the mission delivery and mission support than what the department-level strategy does.
Simone, throughout our conversation, here's a follow-up that we've mentioned 12 bureaus. We've mentioned the federated model of IT within your department. I want to get a sense of, if you could elaborate on, how do you go about being the facilitative leader that you need to be? So what is, when you're coming up with a policy with NOAA or with Census, how do you meet with the folks who are the IT executives over there? And what kind of, do you have a CIO council of sorts, or is it more informal?
We do. We have a CIO council that includes representation from the CIOs, all the CIOs within the department. And frankly, a lot of the work that needs to be done goes beyond just the CIO Council, because many of the policies that we develop and implement don't affect only CIOs. They do affect the bureaus more broadly, whether it's the customer experience or from a security perspective, things that everybody and not just CIOs need to be involved with. So a lot of the discussion takes place within the Commerce CIO Council, but a lot of it takes place in other venues as well. We have a Commerce CFO Council. Obviously, many of the initiatives that we undertake, many of the policies that we develop have budgetary implications, and so we need to involve the CFO community. Some of the things that we want to do, we need to collect money from our internal organizations to be able to pay for, and that too, you can't just send somebody a bill unannounced. You have to explain to them what you're going to be billing for and get their support for doing it before we're able to do some of these things that have larger budget-type implications. We also have a Department Management Council, which is typically more senior-level career people, not CIOs and CFOs, but often people above them in one form or another. Some of them have a title of a chief or director for administration. Some of them are chief operating officers, but it's typically among the highest-level career people within the bureaus. And frequently, we collaborate with them on both getting input into our initiatives, but also getting support for our initiatives, particularly when we need to ask for money either internally or work through the federal budget process to do things.
One initiative I want to talk about is your efforts, and you identified this as a major challenge for your department, and as cybersecurity, it's a challenge for the whole federal government-wide issue. So what are you doing to protect the IT infrastructure and combat cybersecurity at the department?
Well, because the department's IT is very distributed, mm-hmm. in some ways, management of security is distributed. And to some degree, that makes sense, because if I don't control a majority of the department's systems, then ultimately the people who should be accountable for ensuring that those systems are secure are the people who do control them. The people who have the funding to support those systems are the people who have to apply resources to ensure that they're being secured. The people whose direct mission is being supported by those systems are the people who should be accepting the risk associated with what is or is not secured in those systems. And risk acceptance is a big part of risk management and security for federal systems. So to some extent, it should be federated. What we try to do from a department-wide level is policy and oversight. A lot of what we do is collaborating across organizations to try to have uniform standards and minimum baselines and minimum requirements for security. And we also try to have, from a centralized level, better visibility into what's going on at the department, and also the ability to have a department-wide holistic view of the actual security status of the department, situational awareness. Mm-hmm. And that's something that in the past we didn't have because the department was highly decentralized. And so for me, as the department CIO, for example, to get a sense of how many machines across the entire department were patched, we would have to do a data call and put together a spreadsheet and email it to all the bureaus, and they would have to look internally and report back to us. We'd have to aggregate the information and look at it. And by the time all that happened, you know, it's at least a couple of weeks, and the information is outdated by the time it's on your desk. So what we've been looking at doing now, in fact, what we're in the process of doing now, is following the more recent trend toward continuous monitoring and implementing that across the department as a whole. That's one thing that we're not implementing piecemeal, bureau by bureau, but we're implementing a department-wide infrastructure for continuous monitoring. It will help accelerate to almost near real-time the situational awareness and the reporting for things like patch status, vulnerability management, configuration, secure configuration management across the department. It will give me a more complete, a more comprehensive, a more accurate, and a much more rapid view into what the department's operational security state looks like.
What does the future hold for information technology within the U.S. Department of Commerce? We will ask its Chief Information Officer, Dr. Simone Zeichman, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.